The following program is a JWC Media production for WrestleChat.net and CLW83.com. This edition of the NAWC is uncensored. For over 6 years, and nearly 300 episodes, the North American Wrestling Connection, the NAWC, wrestling's recognized leader in talk entertainment.
Before we get started, I got something I want to get off my chest, okay?
Yep.
War correspondent, with all your journalistic integrity, broken jaw, wired shut, concussion, these facts? No. These are all statements that came from you that are absolutely untrue. You want to play Barbara Walters, do your homework, okay? We started this, I told you could ask me whatever you wanted and that I would answer the hard questions. But put some effort into it, okay? Do your job. Now, go ahead.
And now, CLW83.com and WrestleChat.net present the NAWC, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007. Sanctioned by
Big Show. He's been fired, but he still made his way into the arena, rushed through the crowd, rushed the ring, knocked people out. Your reaction to what he did?
I will deal with the man that used to be known as the Big Show, Paul White. I will deal with him Monday night.
You could have dealt with this. None of this had to happen. If you had arrested the Big Show, had him thrown in jail, there would have been no disruption of Raw Monday night.
These are your questions, huh? Let me ask you a question, Cole. 2 weeks ago, Monday Night Raw, Big Show came back into the arena and knocked me out. Were you thinking yes? Look at me. You know what the devil does, Cole? He drives a man till he just can't take it anymore. I am in this for the long haul. Next week, do your homework. Come with some real questions.
Now, if you would come on my show, instead of just taking over, it might be best for business, but he would be welcome here. Because we ask hard-hitting questions, or at least we try to, here at the North American Wrestling Connection, as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. My name is Nikki Heyman, and I've got a full house tonight. Let's start all the way up in the Big Apple with Jason Block.
Good evening. And by the way, I didn't know Mickie James was fighting Bully Ray in the main event at Bound for Glory.
Ah, lol, TNA, lol, hey, lol, TNA.
Lol. Yeah, we actually do have news about them, and it's not good. No joke.
Speaking of lol, TNA, somebody who's got has been thoroughly facepalming and I think finally gave up on them, Tyler Brown.
Yeah, I mean, okay, let's just think about this. You know, not even Vince McMahon, to my recollection, has ever had a T-shirt of his own made. There's probably been some of the corporation and the et ceteras. Dixie Carter, nobody wants to buy your shirt. Nobody wants to hear that, you know, Dixie Carter, you should be so least of an integral role. They shouldn't have even bothered making you a lol TNA-tron. My head's going to explode.
Someone who, then our next person at the table is from the Sunshiny State, if the sun's actually out this time, Chris Waters.
Okay, before we get started here, I want to address something that was said a couple of weeks ago. I had nothing to do with the site going down, and I've been on trial because of this. We took a check on the muffin bites, And if the pastry don't fit, you must acquit. All right? Let's move on.
Nice. Okay. Nice. Okay.
Oh, goodness. And while that was four, I do have one more at the table, and I probably should have introduced him before Chris. That would be fourth.
Yes, and I spent my Saturday night trapped in the cross-faced chicken wing, so I mean, not to anger Bob Backlund again.
I've been there, man. It's a scary, scary prospect. It is an extremely scary prospect. First, I think I'm going to start with some good news, something that kind of slipped past us last week. And Chris, thank you for resending this article.
No problem.
Some of us have seen WWE's prior attempts at doing a comic, and not just the one from a couple of years ago that was drawn by a bunch of Rob Liefeld worshippers. There was the Undertaker comic series from the late 90s. WCW attempted a comic, and that in itself was rather laughable, and not in a good way.
Let's not forget the infamous Warrior comics.
Let's actually do forget them, because we don't want to see what happened to Santa Claus again.
Only if they want to reprise it, if the Warrior will put on a wig and Goldberg will grow out his beard again.
Oh, God.
And uses Santa's sleigh persona. No, I can't do that. Now
you gave me a feud idea for WWE 2K14.
You can tell that to Lupin too. Anyway, what I am getting at is that they finally got somebody who understands the WWE and comics. And they're getting it right. WWE.com has been showing off the first few pages of an upcoming comic of their own where you can actually tell everybody apart and the body shapes aren't bad. And the dialogue is, to my ear, as it were, accurate. Chris, I know you've read these pages. Can you hear the voices as you read the pages?
So far, I can. Yeah, it's pretty neat how Foley, yeah, for those of you who don't know, it's Big Foley writing it. Foley is getting into these characters.
Wow, that's right. Mick Foley is writing it. No kidding. Okay.
Yeah.
And he's getting into the characters, even though they are not his characters. He's getting into how they would operate in a real world setting where wrestling is more real than it is in real life. And he understands it. And one minor note that I did want to mention while I had a chance, I did like the name of Undertaker's tattoo parlor at the end.
Yes, it's called the Funeral Parlor. What's cool is it comes out December 11th. I don't know. Do you think it's going to be digital as well, or do you think it's an independent comic?
Well, I hope it's digital because there's no good comic shops where I am. But
I'm sure they'll probably use both formats since WWE has tried to be very forward with their stuff. Since the magazine is now all digital if you want, instead of cluttering up your apartment with old magazines. Oh, hi. But the comic, I've read the first few pages and I was blown away. I was absolutely blown away. I really, really liked what I read. I could hear the characters. Tyler, have you had a chance to take a look at this?
I'm looking at it right now, and I can actually see and hear the dialogue going back and forth. It looks really good, and if they were to continue it, I'm sure there would be plenty of people buying it.
I'm thoroughly impressed. Fourth, is this a shut up and take my money comic?
I'm definitely strongly considering it. Definitely because they have someone who actually, like you said, understands the wrestling business.
And Foley's been, Foley has been around all these guys, so he knows what they sound like. He knows how they would act. And putting all this in a real-world situation where it, you know, where Triple H is a, you know, corrupt government official, Cena's in jail, Undertaker runs a tattoo parlor, and
Punk's the outsider.
I've gotten Rorschach comparisons.
And meanwhile, Daniel Bryan's doing a V for Vendetta kind of thing or something like that.
Yeah, they hinted that, which is actually really, really cool, and I look forward to seeing where that goes. So yes, early December, upgrade your Comixology account today or visit your local comic book shop and reserve your copy.
And by the way, Comixology is a great app if you are a comic fan. It's a fantastic app.
Yes, it is.
Damn right it is.
So, let's see. What was some of the other good news that I wanted to... Oh, I better get this out of the way. Gentlemen, you know that I've pretty much been walking around on Cloud 9 since Tuesday evening, where I had a chance to go up to Clear Lake, Minnesota, which is northeastern Minneapolis. And I have finally, after having the band blow us off in Cleveland for Battle of the Bands, got to see Fozzy live.
Yay! That's a win. Nice.
Now, I went ahead and put down the extra money for the VIP package, so I got a chance to shake some hands, exchange some business cards. Hint, hint, Jericho! Hint, hint, Rich! Billy! Frankie! Paul! You know, I'm right here. Anyway. But, my generous donation not only got me a picture with the band, but we also had a giant group photo of all the VIP purchasers with the band. And I got my 15 megabytes of fame on Instagram. I am an artist of moderate nature, and my thing is drawing anthropomorphics. So I drew Jericho and company as a bunch of freaking animals.
Which they are, so.
And they admit it. To the point, and I've got to read this. Somebody sent me a screen cap because I do not have Instagram. Killer hashtag Fozzy fan art from Minneapolis last night. Paulie's a crow. I'm a griffin, Jericho. Rich is a fox. Billy is a wolf. And Frankie is a stray dog. Awesome drawing to match an awesome show last night, so I'll see you in Joliet. Followed by the longest hashtag I think I've ever received. Do you know how much it will cost to dress the band as animals?
Nice.
Just get some cosplaying fans and they'll pretty do it for cheap for you guys, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. And like I said, Fozzy put on a great set. They had the opening acts were all very good. Check out the Facebooks for Fifth Hour and Echo Effect. Both are very solid rock bands. Echo Effect gives their music away. They don't seem to be interested in making money. They're more interested in making fans. So I have a few of their songs. Some of the purchases, the only purchase I made of any kind of merch was actually something I've never seen before. Fozzy was offering Sin and Bones on CD, on vinyl, and on USB.
Nice. That'll work.
So they had the USB hidden in a set of dog tags. And it comes with the entire Sin and Bones album. It was like $15. And for you techno geeks out there, it's unlocked. You can put more on it. Which means you need to put self-titled, Happenstance, and All That Remains on there.
That sounds like a road trip to me.
So, worth my time, worth my money. The guys were awesome. You know, Jericho, we did our best. There were the wrestling fans that were there. We did our best to keep the Y2J stuff down. because that night he was a musician. When he's in the wrestling ring, yes, you can chant Y2J all you want. But when he's up there on the stage singing, you know, he's a musician.
You chant Mongoose McQueen instead.
I knew I forgot to do something. Anyway, but the fact that the Fozzy is a band that does wonderful covers, has their own great material, and they go up there and act like absolute doofuses. Where Billy, one of their guitarists, is posing every which way with his guitar. Paul DeLeo, who is a bassist, is doing all these leans and crazy poses with his machine. I'm like, wait a minute, bassists don't typically do that. You know, Frankie's in the back on the drums doing everything but hitting the cymbals with his head. And Jericho, Jericho was jumping up and down, running around like he was having the time of his life. So I did put the pictures up on Facebook, and oh, by the way, I don't know if this is coincidence or not, but the two shots of him towering over me were during She's My Addiction.
There you go.
So I'm flattered, but sir, you're married.
And have three kids. When do you... Oh, by the way, did you get the answer when he sleeps?
No, I didn't even get a chance to ask because they flipped out over the poster.
Oh, okay.
That's okay. That just means I have to get him on the show. He has my business card. Hopefully I will hear from him soon. That's a hint. Sorry.
Again, yes.
Okay. Ow. Okay. Let's see. Now to actually get to some of the news. Raw was a mixed bag, and the Big Show stuff is really kind of confusing me because Michael Cole makes a very good point in our intro and pretty much chased Triple H from my show. Tyler, Cole's right. Why didn't Triple H just get Big Show arrested?
Why don't you ask
He stepped away. Chris, go ahead.
I was going to say, I think that the most likely reason is that maybe he wants to continue putting the screws to Big Show, that at one point getting him to say something or do something to necessitate a match, because it would seem like Triple H, the character, is really driven by his ego, and he wouldn't want anyone like Big Show getting one over on him like he did a few weeks ago.
Okay. Oh, there you are, Tyler. We're discussing how, you know, Big Show seems to be able to circumvent security and confound Triple H in the left and right. So well, Cole asked, why don't you just arrest him? Is it pride that Hunter's letting Big Show get away with all this crap?
Maybe there's a lot more to it. Maybe there's, you know, some sort of deal where, I mean, there could be the possibility where we see a Show heel turn because, you know, the whole, you know, I'm the nice guy who's, you know, having to do the hard thing. Eventually he's getting to this point where he's turning, you know, real hardened, and it might be to a point where he's going to, you know, go the other way and then be on Triple H's side and this, that, and the other and be like his personal attack dog sort of thing. So, I mean, that's sort of where it's leading me in my mind.
Okay. The angle is also being used tangentially, apparently, to get somebody on TV. Chris, who the hell is Xavier Woods?
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, some of you may know Xavier Woods from TNA when he was known as Consequences Creed. Others may know him from watching NXT, and he is the guy that is the Power Rangers fan Apparently JBL doesn't know him because he hasn't been on NXT since JBL took over the show, but JBL doesn't seem to want to know names unless he wants to insult them, as seen in this week's main event of NXT when he yelled at a referee.
So the part of it is the fact that Xavier is apparently vouching for Big Show and started, what was it, a twitition? An online petition?
Something like
that.
Yeah,
twitition, yes.
Okay, to get Big Show's job back. And, you know, while Cole is trying to be supportive of this, JBL just keeps shouting over him, you know, who the hell's Xavier Woods? You're going to find out soon enough, JBL, because he works for you.
And since he's a Power Rangers fan, he'll use the Dragon Dagger and call Jason David Frank to come in. After Jason deals with CM Punk, but that's another story.
Actually, I did like that there was a joke on the boards about Jason David Frank versus CM Punk for the Dragon Dagger.
Yes,
Dragon Dagger on the pole match, and whoever gets the dagger first gets to summon the Zord. And Punk's a geek enough to do that.
Yes,
he would do that. Absolutely. I know I'm jumping around a bit. Part of the reason Big Show seems to have fun confounding Triple H is because he kind of put the best way it was ever put. Big Show's interference put a dent in the Shield.
Like that line, yes.
So Jason, The tag team victory, seeing the Rhodes brothers beat the Shield. How does that make you feel?
You want to know something? It was great. It was really good, and it gives Cody Rhodes the push. Hopefully, he finally gets into that secondary A level. Okay. It also gives Goldust. It also gives Goldust a fine, you know, another good run. Does it hurt the Shield? I don't think so. I really don't, because again, it didn't help or hurt. In other words, it took the Shield, you know, the Big Show to knock them all out to win. You know,
right?
One on one, we don't know. It was the highlight of a lackluster show for me.
That's Tyler, your thoughts on the tag title change?
It's it's definitely a nice change of pace. I was reading some stuff that maybe Vince was feeling like too many heels were holding the titles, so maybe he wanted to change it up. Like I said, I'm not an insider. I don't know. I'm just reading hearsay and such. And honestly, it's a nice balance. You know, you don't want all of it. You don't want all the titles on one side or the other. Every now and again, you want the one guy who, you know, it's still going to put a chase on the titles no matter where. But as far as the titles go, it's huge because of everything that's happened to the Rhodes family. I mean, maybe somewhere down the line we'll see a case maybe at a pay-per-view where Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream, may be in their corner and keeping that title chase going on. I really hope it's not one of those short-lived title runs, hopefully.
Oh, I'm with you there. What was I going to ask? My mind went blank. Oh, well.
You wanted to ask Chris about the tag team titles, maybe.
I can do that. Chris, your thoughts on the tag team title switch?
It's interesting that they did this now, because they still had one thing I liked about that. No, they did not forget that the Usos still had their shot. It was a fun moment, but I'm glad they just didn't just wash away and say, "Yeah, who are the Usos? Get them out of the picture." They did still mention that throughout the match, at least once in the match, and then again on SmackDown. So I'm interested to see how they're going to go with this now. The Shield has their rematch that you know they're probably going to get, and then the Usos still have their number one contendership, and then you got the Rhodes in the middle. So I'm interested to see where it goes from here.
What I think is happening is that we are going to get either a tag team scramble down the line, because they are putting you know, fair emphasis on a lot of the tag teams. The fact that 3MB actually won a match recently. The Usos have looked strong. Los Matadores, no matter how you feel about them, Puerto Rican Matadores, whatever. And the real Americans, whether they stay together or not, they're still showing these guys off. And I agree with the point about having too many heels or too many faces holding belts, but I wasn't sure of the balance because I really don't know what side Vacant is on.
Vacant's neutral. He's like Kane, and he was like Primo before Primo became one of the Matadores. But Kane, he doesn't change. He's the wind, baby. There, he goes with the flow.
Okay. But he's not in one of Kane's situations where he's stuck in the heel face revolving door.
No. He just goes against whoever, because you notice he's taken titles from Andre the Giant, Hulk Hogan, Shawn Michaels.
So, but yeah, Vacant's had a hell of a title reign, anyway. But, although speaking of matches, my poor Uncle Paul. Oh my goodness.
This is not good.
Well, I'm not only the setup wasn't very good either. It was a two-man beat the clock challenge, which felt like it was something that they wrote that afternoon. To me. I mean, it had its purpose. You know, whoever won the beat the clock challenge got to pick the stip. I was all fine and good with that. But again, it felt like it was shoehorned into the show.
Yeah, they didn't even play up any sort of importance throughout the night or throughout much of it. It just, like you said, felt like they just slipped it in at the last minute.
Now, Tyler, the setup now is Punk gets Ryback and my dear Uncle Paul in the cell.
Okay.
How dead is my uncle?
Well, between a scale of, let's see here, zero being Eugene excited about The Rock to 10, where you get Jim Cornette almost going through the window of a Dairy Queen, you're looking at about a 25.
Hey, we're talking about a man who beat CM Punk with both hands shackled behind his back.
That's true. I should not doubt my dear Uncle Paul, for he is indeed the best in the world.
Except when it comes to balancing a checkbook.
Hey.
Foul. Okay. But unfortunately, I get one of those every show. So now that that's done, none of the rest of you guys can do that now.
Well.
Until we talk TNA. Anyway.
Son of a...
Yes.
So, we got a few things bouncing around the roster. Bray Wyatt had sustained a mild calf injury last weekend, so he's not as involved, but it works for his character. And the fact, you know, Chris, he just sicks his two big thugs on everybody.
Yeah. The Wyatts really work better, in my opinion. As much as Bray can go, I've seen some matches that he's had on NXT. Like, he had one match months ago on NXT against Chris Jericho, and that was pretty good. Bray works better as a manager sort of figure that's just sitting in the chair and watching his guys work, and occasionally getting involved when he needs to. In my opinion, he's like a mastermind with his two thugs, as you've said.
Yeah. Because Harper and Rowan don't have to be pretty. They just got to win.
Exactly.
So, Let's see, somewhere else on the roster. Jason, there's the Barrett Barrage was stalled.
Well, yeah, for a bit. He's in Mexico now. He had some visa issues.
Okay. Again.
But I think we have a more interesting return, if I may.
Oh, go ahead. No, I'll let you take this one.
Okay. What happened was during, I believe there was an Alberto Del Rio match. Let me get the actual recording on this, the actual notes on this, because in this particular case, just one second.
Stretch, baby, stretch.
Yeah, Rey Mysterio teamed with Sin Cara to defeat Alberto Del Rio and Wade Barrett at Guadalajara tonight. Okay.
Okay.
And then, but the night before, he returned to, what happened was is that he beat Alberto beat Sin Cara with the armbar, and he refused to let go, and then Rey Mysterio was the one who rescued him. So Rey is back, and probably you will see him soon, sooner rather than later.
So do you think that they will get him in ASAP, or should they wait till after Hell in a Cell?
I would wait till after Hell in a Cell, because what happens is that not to spoil anything, because it really isn't to me, I think Alberto Del Rio will drop the belt at Hell in a Cell, but that's just my thought. So he needs a program, and Rey is right up there, so why not?
Well, it's not a spoiler. You know who Del Rio's facing.
Super Cena! Thank you.
And make that check out to Jim Williams. Anyway,
I will do that.
Okay. So, you know, Barrett will be back soon. Mysterio will be back sooner than later. Sin Cara will be back finally.
Two more names that were on that card that haven't been on TV in a while. That I'm wondering if they're going to come back soon. Are Tyson Kidd and Hunico as well?
Hunico, they're going to have to figure out what they're going to do with him. Tyson Kidd, they could just, they could bolster the tag division and put him back with Justin Gabriel.
Well, yeah, and they could bolster the tag division with Hunico and bring back Camacho.
Does Camacho still have a job?
Yeah, he's actually going to be on a future episode of NXT. Spoiler alert, he's jobbing, but...
No, it's all good.
I don't remember to who, but...
No, good enough. So yeah, we can get a couple more people on TV that way. But no, that's good news. And the fact that they're doing some shuffling around. I'm sorry. One more return that we need to mention. Kane will be around by November. They'll have See No Evil 2 wrapped up by then, and he probably will come right back. I'd just be curious to see what they're going to do with him when he comes back forth.
It's definitely interesting. I figured they would have put him back with one particular person, but it does depend on whether or not his aforementioned injury will be better by then.
We'll see. I mean, you know, I've got my fingers crossed on that. Going back to the heels and faces thing with the titles. I find it interesting that WWE was confused, Tyler, that Brie Bella wasn't getting over as a face.
Well, there's a reason for that. Well, go ahead. You were saying?
No, I was just saying somebody's asleep at the wheel there.
Well, I'm just trying to. It's a situation where, you know, who am I cheering for in the women's division? Because AJ is supposedly the heel because she's being bitchy because she wasn't allowed to be on Total Divas. But you know, Brie and Nikki have been mean girls ever since they got back. Chris, I'm confused.
I will try to translate what WWE's mindset is. So give me a moment to get my pickaxe to dig through and my machete to dig through the crap of it. So the mindset you're thinking of with WWE is Brie is going to get married to Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan is a face. So therefore, by connection, Brie is supposed to be a face. Meanwhile, AJ now has her own diesel figure in Tamina, so that's supposed to connect to how Shawn Michaels was when he had Diesel, so that is supposed to make AJ a heel.
It's not working.
I didn't say it was working. I didn't say it was working, but...
Yeah...
I'm just trying to figure out WWE logic.
No. Chris, your explanation is absolutely right, okay? you're not going to become face by osmosis. It's not, right. is that what he was trying to do, pretty much? Face by osmosis?
I don't know. I wasn't back there.
No, I'm just saying, but wow, it's not going to work. It's not going to work because...
And wow, that joke went right over your head. Okay.
Oh, jeez. That's a little dirty. Okay.
Yeah. That, and it certainly doesn't help that AJ basically did the, I'm a wrestler. I'm not here because I'm on a TV show in her half-shoot promo.
That should have facilitated a straight-up feud with Natalia if they were going to do this. But, you know, what do I know? Maybe... Oh, wait. I know my problem. I'm injecting logic.
Crap. Here we go again.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. I apologize.
Yeah, whatever.
I'm still waiting for Karma to come back and just annihilate the Bellas. We still have that promise that she made.
Please? Please? Please and thank... You know, as they say in Minnesota, don't you know? Please and thank you.
Make sure she stays away from her boyfriend, and let's, you know, the one kid's enough for now. Let's get her back in the ring and destroy some Total Divas.
Because I know WWE will not allow Randy Orton to beat up Brie Bella. Even if some of us would actually enjoy it.
They're not going to allow any physicality between any men or any women. That's why Big Show's not knocking out Stephanie either.
True. But he got a sick punch in on Maddox on SmackDown.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Oh, dear God. Oh. Oh, my teeth are hurting. Oh.
WWE.com reported that Maddox has a concussion, so... You know, Hunter's probably even more pissed off. I just don't know how they could tell in Maddox's case, but that's neither here nor there.
He was not as smarmy as usual, that's why.
That's true. He wasn't as Bischoff. Well, he sounded pretty Bischoff when he got down there. And we didn't hear from him for the rest of the night, so... While I was lamenting my dear Uncle Paul's situation, it seems that CM Punk has gained an ally. Now, Chris, you've seen Biggie Langston as a face in NXT.
Yes.
And I feel bad that you said you did not get to see this segment.
Actually, while we were waiting to start the show, I watched it on Daily Motion. So.
Okay. So. Biggie's is what they're doing here just, you know, just getting Punk some proper backup, or do you think they're actually going to full-on turn Biggie face?
Well, by the way they were cheering, it sounded like that was an official face turn. And since he did not attack Punk after it, I don't think they're going to do anything with that. Big E works as a face. They tried to start him in NXT as a heel, but people were just loving what he was doing, even when he was doing the five count on people after the match. Just keep on hitting him with the big ending and counting to five while pinning the guy. So, and he has a unique charisma that works for it. But the thing I find funny is that they did that with the Paul Heyman, because I remember last time Big E was on NXT, his match was against Curtis Axel for the Intercontinental title. So it was kind of, so maybe they're going to, that was a test for something in the pay-per-view.
Possible. Yes, I'm okay with a test title match.
I wouldn't even mind if they had the belt switch hands. And by the way, that, speaking of that, there's a memo that we saw online recently that,
oh, you're right. You're absolutely right. I will go get it. Okay.
But as I was saying, I wouldn't mind if they switched the title to Big E Langston. While you're getting the memo, I'll mention this. And they end this Punk Heyman Ryback kind of thing. And since we got some face tag team champions, let's finish up what they're doing with the Shield and the Rhodes, or if they give the belts to the Usos. And maybe, I don't know, either the Rhodes or the Usos versus Big Geek versus Axel and Ryback for the tag titles for a little while. I wouldn't mind that.
So, are you talking about the old memo?
Yeah, the one where they were talking about, you can't say this anymore and everything like that.
This is news with a capital Z. I really feel that way. Although it's hard to prove.
I've seen a picture of the memo, so.
Okay.
I was going to say, the only thing I could take for certain would be the use of the word choke in submission holds in reference to them. Other than that, it is a very tough thing to believe.
Well, the comment title changing hands is, I don't even see how that's even, you know, how that's seen as a negative. I mean, I understand that they don't want, you know, they don't want the announcers to use a five-star match or match of the year, though personally, I don't see a problem there either. It's just WWE thinks that the announcers are getting it from the dirt sheets. Well, hell, if I'm watching a five-star match, I'm going to tell you I'm seeing a five-star match. I might be wrong, but, you know. They're trying not to, you know, they're not trying to state the obvious about the referee missing a lot of heel tactics.
I should mention, since I've seen the official memo, this was around the time when Jack Swagger was world champion, so things might have changed since then.
Things changed pretty quickly. Well, a couple of things have already changed. We've actually, you know, this memo doesn't say anything about referees, there was a memorandum that went out for a while that they weren't allowed to say the referees' names. And they've come back around on that now. I've heard John Cohn's name. I've heard Charles Robinson's name. Scott Armstrong, obviously, because he was in a mini angle. But the fact that we're hearing ref names, I feel better. So yeah, this little memo is old news with a Z. I realize you've seen the real memo, Chris, but I'm just shaking my head. The one that we need to talk about is the morality clause. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad I've got my legal eagle on board. Jason?
Yes, okay. This is what we call in the business. There's a term called moral turpitude. Okay?
Okay.
Which basically means that you're supposed to behave yourself. And in other words, that's why Jay, for example, Jay Briscoe will never be in the WWE because of his old gay marriage thing. Okay.
Okay.
He's expressing an opinion. So tell me about this this clause you're talking about.
Okay. Let me get the actual thing up real quick. Courtesy of our sponsors at WrestleChat.net. The clause states that any employee can be terminated or considered non-hireable if the WWE finds any inappropriate photos or videos of them on the internet. Every new hire must sign the contract which testifies that none of this material exists, and if any is discovered, that they will be blacklisted from their from WWE's company database. I understand the protection, Jason, but this is kind of going a little too far to me.
I was going to say, would they be able to sign if they come clean? Like, I'm guessing Caitlyn, before she'd come clean about her photos, or
what photos?
She did some modeling photos, nothing naked, but just a little risque.
Okay, but again, but what is their determinant of what is moral or not? Okay, is it
mind naked? You? This is the company that let a gal parade around with handprint pasties on her boobs.
But that was many years ago. Everything that's happened with the PG era, they don't want you to remember. Because they're PG now.
That's perfectly fine. Then I want it grandfathered. Let's see how many people are left.
Oh, yeah.
There goes the neighborhood.
Well, let's see. We went through a list, I believe, pre-show. Randy Orton and his nutsack towel, right?
Yeah.
We have RVD and that one photo of him with a whole lot of marijuana buds.
Let me think. There was a couple other ones that I had on just off the top of my head.
Oh. I've heard there was a John Cena one, but I didn't look for it.
I wouldn't. I'll go back to some of Shawn Michaels' antics in '96. There's a certain infamous GIF that I was talking about.
Yeah.
It's hard to believe. I thought you were talking about the Playgirl that he did.
That too.
Between that GIF and the magazine, it is tough to believe that he is a Christian now.
Yes, but I loved his reaction when they put that on the Tron. I was young. I was dumb. You told me girls read that magazine.
I'm not going to mention, but let's say a certain person who's unsigned doing something that's been on Gawker. You know.
Yeah, and has cost a couple of friendships. Yeah, I know what you're talking about, and we're not going to go any further into that because I'm running out of brain bleach. We're coming up on
right,
the end
but
of
I'm the, but again, it's all about the idea that I mean, if is WWE going to try and be the behavior police?
Good luck with that, because everybody's got something on the internet.
Well, okay.
To a point. And when it comes to wrestling, first of all, wrestling is not exactly one of the most moral businesses outside of the top tier. And even then, between, you know, indie wrestlers with party pictures, Twitter wars, Facebook arguments. WWE can put the line wherever they want and use this, Jason, as a shield to keep from hiring certain individuals, saying, oh, well, he did that.
Yeah, in other words, it could also be, yeah, it's like he could be the greatest indie worker in the world, but, you know, let's say the next great indie worker. But he's got a picture of his junk out there. We can't hire him. Right? That one?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I thought, to me, that's bullshit. That goes right up there with a very, very close friend of mine who wanted to work for Disney Hotels. They would not hire her because she had a tattoo on her leg.
Jeez.
And she was going to be standing behind a counter, for Christ's sake. And they wouldn't, they told her they wouldn't hire her because of that.
Well, look, I mean, look, I don't know if WWE is going to get that draconian. I don't think they can.
And frankly, if, you know, if it came to that, I would show up with the black and white of Hunter and Sean in the mistletoe thongs. I may get blacklisted, but at least I get a laugh out of it.
Exactly.
Hello there. What does the GM want?
He said, no.
He said some free press. The GM says, never say never with the WWE if Colt Cabana is going to get another announcing tryout or not. He may or may not. Thank you, Raja.
That's true, because he basically said no way, but you never know.
You guys have been having a lot of fun talking about WWE. I hate to do this to you, but you have got quite a bit to talk about regarding TNA in the second half.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm not terribly keen about that myself, but I understand because we've got two really big things to talk about when it comes to TNA and equal time and all that happy dappy shit.
Boo!
So, but it's more about the TNA free fall, and I've got to get all that pulled together. So I'm going to need a couple of minutes. Let's get some commercials posted. Gentlemen, the restrooms are unlocked and the vending machines are plugged in. We will be back in a few minutes to sadly talk about TNA.
In 2013 alone, over 300,000 Americans will be diagnosed with a form of breast cancer. If you ask me, that's 300,000 too many. Because of that, CLW83.com is going pink for the entire month of October. Hi, I'm Jim Williams. We invite you to join all of our hosts, our contributors, and affiliates as we go pink to raise awareness for breast cancer in the month of October. We'll be paying tribute to the warriors, the survivors, those we've lost, and the families impacted by breast cancer. We also invite you to go to Komen.org to learn the facts about breast cancer, learn the signs and symptoms, the various treatment options, and if you're compelled, make a donation. Again, the website is Komen.org. CLW83.com, going pink to raise awareness for breast cancer.
Having breast cancer has changed the way that I approach my research. Through funding by the Susan G. Komen Career Catalyst Grant for my research, we've been able to establish a preliminary blood test for breast cancer. I'm Christy Eglund, and I'm Susan G. Komen.
Help save lives. Visit IamSusanGKomen.org.
How many websites do you use to get your fix of wrestling news? 3, 4, 5 or more? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1 by going to WrestleChat.net, your pro wrestling news source. Brett Glenn Daniel and his staff bring you up-to-the-minute wrestling news and views all day, every day. And WrestleChat.net is home to great podcasts like WrestleChat Radio, The Still Real to Us Show, and the North American Wrestling Connection. For the best in wrestling news and views, there's only one site to turn to. WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat. It's where it's at. The pennant chase is on, and nobody covers baseball like CLW 83 Network's Touch 'Em All. Join Jim William and a panel of baseball pundits for analysis and insights on all things Major League Baseball, from the latest news to thought-provoking discussions. If you want to truly cover all the bases on the road to the Fall Classic, you have to touch 'em all. Every week in September and before every round of baseball's postseason this fall on the CLW 83 Network. Tune in. CLW 83 Network programming is now available on demand through Stitcher Radio. Log on to Stitcher.com. Download and install the free Stitcher Radio app to your iPhone, iPad, or Android device, or log into the site via Facebook. Then search for CLW 83, and you'll be instantly connected to all of your favorite CLW 83 Network programs. The Stitcher Radio app at Stitcher.com. The newest way to tune in to the CLW 83 Network, online, on demand, and on the go.
And we're back on the North American Wrestling Connection, sponsored by WrestleChat.net. Nikki Heyman here with Jason Block, Chris Waters, Tyler Brown, and Forth. As mandated by the NAWC GM, we have to talk TNA. And actually, this is kind of important. The first big thing is the show schedule is being juggled around in the fact that shows have been canceled, which is never a good thing, where we have, you know, we'd mentioned that things had been backing up a bit, but Impact Wrestling tapings for December 5th in Chattanooga have been canceled. They have canceled a couple of other shows down the line, and let's see. I thought I had a couple other places.
Yeah, hold on, I have it here. They have removed the November 21st Baltimore taping after suspending ticket sales earlier this week.
Okay,
they canceled the December 5th in Chattanooga before tickets went on sale.
Right.
Okay. And they never announced the December 19th TV tapings in Arlington because rumor is they want to come back to the Impact Zone.
And that kind of hurt my brain when I heard that because, okay, wait a minute. You guys went on the road and pretty much gave Universal carte blanche to go ahead and repurpose the Impact Zone. But it sounds like, you know, it's not set in stone yet. They're still talking with Universal. I've also heard rumors that they were looking in a couple of other places. You know, Vegas gets tossed around a lot, and after their one show in Vegas, gods, I hope not.
Well, what's amazing to me is that TNA is not doing anything right. I mean, they went live 5 years too late. They went on the road 5 years too late. I mean, you know, it's crazy. I mean, every TV taping, it's the live gate is like what, a couple of hundred, a couple of thousand with a lot of paper, if that.
And yeah, the fact that they have to move everybody to camera side, and you know, Dixie's just standing backstage scratching her head.
I just don't know what went wrong.
But the fact that, you know, they want to go back to the Impact Zone, I was hoping that they would have actually just gone ahead and gone back to the Asylum, because don't they still have that? Anyone?
I think they do.
So why waste your time and money arguing with Universal when you could be working out of, you know, out of headquarters, where I think it would be a drive, granted, for the guys that are in Louisville. Might be tricky for flights for some of the talent, but still, you've got a facility. Use it. Because you're going to have to find a way to get back. If you're going to try to get back to the Impact Zone, it's just not going to be the same.
And I was just about to say, they're coming up on their biggest pay-per-view of the year, which, in my opinion, you know what this reminds me of, Nikki? And if you really want to go, I want to go back in history. This really reminds me of Guilty as Charged 2001 for ECW. Because it just seems to me that they're at a crossroads right now. TNA is in so much trouble, they can't do anything right.
And they're trying to fix it, and it just keeps breaking. It just breaks more. And with, you know, with stupid decisions like the Dixie Carter t-shirt, and to correct the comment, Vince has one shirt. He has one shirt, and it says, "Like a Boss."
Okay.
The only other one that even comes close is the Invasion 2001 t-shirt, where you see half of his face. And I don't really count that. Talent is still not being paid on time. There's been a handful of releases, including the much discussed Hogan release. Watch this, it's called a segue. And Hogan, I'm sure, as soon as his contract was expired, the first thing he did was picked up the phone and called Hunter. Now, Tyler, I understand, you know, Hogan, you know, Hogan's ego is not cheap.
No.
But really, what could he do for WWE right now?
The only thing I can think of is that the casual fan who hasn't tuned in so long goes, "Oh man, Hulk Hogan, I remember him from the 80s, you know, the what you gonna do, brother, and the take your vitamins," and, you know, but people in modern times might remember, hey, you know, he had a kid who basically he destroyed another kid's life, you know, and all the other bad things that came about with Nick's car accident and some of the things that Hogan and Nick had exchanged words about, which were very unflattering to the whole family in general. I don't see much value in Hulk Hogan anymore. I mean, it's cool that he's being put into video games, and, you know, obviously they're not going to put him in video games as his current self. They're going to use the Hulkamania, you know, when he was all looking tan and fit and, you know, in shape and had somewhat of his life together. In current times, he would be good as a mentor, maybe. But beyond that, I don't see him. I don't see any in reaction. I mean, the best I could see is maybe the mentor.
Okay. Word on the wind fourth was that WWE lowballed him, or at least that's probably how he felt, that he got lowballed.
To be honest, if I were him, I wouldn't have been surprised. I mean, like we said, he has no leverage. Before, he didn't need the paycheck, but now he's got almost no money, so he should have been grateful they made any offer.
And Chris, you know, it's kind of amusing when you think that WWE probably still offered him six figures, and he would have turned it down.
Yeah, probably because he probably thought the offer wasn't good enough, because he wouldn't get as much as money as he wanted and as much time as he would want on the shows. It's either that or he's trying to play hardball to get a better offer from TNA or specifically Spike TV, because there's no way the TNA people are going to be able to pay him. So he's probably trying to, if he's not going to get a WWE contract, he's trying to play hardball to get a TNA contract. And if I were TNA, I wouldn't play the game and say, okay, we can't pay you. Go find work elsewhere. And if WWE still offers him, I would take it for whatever they want him to do. If it's like the ambassador role, which Ric Flair was too drunk to continue that, and right. or just like various DVD features here and there or something like that, that's all I would really use him for, because he can't work anymore, unfortunately, for some fans, unfortunately, because there's still some people who would want to see Hogan one more match. But he can't really go anymore, because if he tries too much, he will become a cripple, pretty much, for lack of a better term.
I'm just, you know, it's one of those things that, does Hogan realize that he's over 60 years old?
He just turned 60, yeah.
Sorry. He's had multiple back surgeries. He's made it pretty clear that he cannot do the leg drop anymore, which is a full third of his routine. And WWE probably lowballed him also by not offering a creative control card, something that I know he enjoyed in TNA. Jason, if Hogan actually acquiesced, do you think he would bring all of his politics forward and try to get something?
This is what I see. Let's say, and again, we're playing crystal ball here. Let's say Hogan signs and gets his WrestleMania moment in some way, somehow. He's going to try and bring the politics in. Except for the fact that this is 2014 we're talking about here, not 1984. And I think the regime is so different now when you have Triple H and Stephanie and other people there who won't take his bullshit anymore. I don't believe. It's just not. I think it's a different time at WWE. Do you agree or not?
Oh no, I agree. They've got a group now that is actually looking at this as a business. They're not doing a lot of the good old boy stuff that Hogan might be able to get away with a few things.
I will just also say one other thing. Chris nailed it on the head. Hogan as a WWE brand ambassador would make the best sense. However, you know, he does have some baggage along with him, but so did Ric Flair. So, you know, I'm just my theory.
No, and actually, I don't care if this is in poor taste. Hogan can't get through, wouldn't be able to get past the morality clause.
Don't remind us.
You don't think they'd grandfather even him?
I would love to be a fly on the wall if they showed him that, just to see what he would do. Where they will first imply that they're going to try to use it on, they're going to wave it in his face to keep from signing him. Between Gawker and the Wrecking Ball.
Oh yes, that recent video. That wasn't the video I was thinking of, but okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
I know the one you're thinking of, Jason, and I'm almost out of brain bleach.
Yeah, I understand. But no, I'm out of brain bleach for that one, too. Okay? For the Wrecking Ball one. Miley Cyrus parody. I mean, it's just like, look. If Hogan wants to come to WWE, I mean, we were saying that it would be a perfect fit. And yes, it would be. Okay?
Right.
But he has to realize, and I'm going to use a Rock term, to know your role and shut your mouth.
Something that Hogan has never had to do since Hulkamania took off. And I think Hogan is having trouble, and I'll take this over to Chris. Hogan has trouble turning it off.
Yeah, the closest that he ever did to turning it off was in his 2002 run. He still got booked up like a crazy guy, like a big star back then, but he did get, back then he was still doing some losses here and there, like he lost by submission to Kurt Angle one time. But the problem is, when he gets a chance to, when he gets the crowd hearing him and he's thinking, oh, I'm still the big star that I was in the 1980s and I'm going to go out there and be the top guy on the show. Unfortunately, he's losing now to Father Time. That's the problem, that he can't seem to understand that eventually it's finally going to stop and he can't do anything about it because that's how nature works.
Fourth, your thoughts.
Yeah, I definitely think that with Hogan it is that he can't shut off not just the politics but also his over-the-top persona. That I think that's definitely the big thing that works against him, the fact that during the negotiations he's not Terry. He's pretty much Hulk 24 hours a day. So I definitely think that he is his own worst enemy at the moment for that very reason.
I think the best way that I've seen it summed up when it comes to wrestlers and their characters, of all people, Chris Jericho. He had said in Unscripted, and I'm paraphrasing because I don't have it in front of me, that you can't be that person all the time. If he went, you know, if he's at home and his wife asks him to take out the trash, he can't turn to her and say, you know, shut the hell up. I'm a wrestler. You know, I am, you know, the Ayatollah of rock and roll and the leader of one of the greatest metal bands, Fozzy.
Well, see, that was the lineup that was not going through my head. I was thinking more Invasion in regards to Stephanie McMahon. You know, what was it? Instead of let the bodies hit the floor, I say let the boobies hit the floor.
To which Jericho finishes it with, she will tell me to go to hell and take the trash with me. So, yeah, Hogan's, you know, Hogan's ego.
I just pull out my copy of Unscripted. I'll find that quote for you.
Yeah.
So, when I have it, I'll let you know.
Okay. But yeah, Hogan just, you know, Hogan's got to turn off the Hulkster for a little bit and let Terry Bollea back out. If Terry Bollea is still alive. And that sounds morbid, but you know, it's just the way things are going, with him right now. Do I want him back in? Do I want him back in the Fed? Ambassador role. Absolutely. I'm okay with this. I don't want him in the ring because he can't work. I'm okay with him on the mic because he can still talk. But his ego isn't going to let him just sit at the announce table like Macho Man or be a GM like Mick Foley. He just can't. For him, it's all or nothing, brother. And it's sad. I find that very, very sad. When you are too stuck in your character that even the Ultimate Warrior can back off. But I think Warrior's crazy days are all behind him. Now he's just a bigot. Oh.
Jeez.
Sorry. Just, it was too easy. Did I have anything else? Actually, I have some indie news.
Before you go into that, by the way, Kurt Angle did an interview. By the way, do you know who actually is paying for his rehab?
The Fed.
The Fed.
Yeah.
You know.
And by the way, while they're doing that, I wouldn't be surprised if somebody's dropped by to talk to Kurt.
Oh, really?
If Kurt can get his shit straight. No, I don't think the Fed will take him. Now that I think about it, the DUIs are too big of a black mark right now.
It's a shame because I miss his theme.
Which version, the one with or without the "you suck" in it?
The real one, the one with the "you sucks" in it.
Okay. I was actually at a show where they took away our "you suck" signs.
Ooh.
That was arena security, though. So they didn't know any better.
Yeah, I think I made my issue with that. But one time I had a sign. I went to a show and Molly Holly was women's champion at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And they took away my sign that said, "Molly is not a fat ass." I don't know why.
I have a couple of guesses.
I have the Chris Jericho quote, if you're interested.
Go ahead. Please.
Quote, and this is on page 205 of the book.
Okay.
If you live and breathe this business 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, it'll drive you crazy. It's very unhealthy because our world is a prefabricated fantasy world where we all play characters. If somebody starts believing their character is a real-life person, that's when problems start. When I'm Chris Jericho, it's at the arena. It's during the match. The 4 days a week I'm on the road. When I come home, Chris Irvine comes out. It's the same thing with music and Fozzie. I play my characters when the time is right, but when I go home and my wife tells me to take out the garbage, I tell her no, and I'm the undisputed world champion and a huge rock star, she'll tell me to go to hell and take the garbage with me. Ha! When I go home, I'm just the guy next door, only difference being that my job is wrestling. If I had time to mow my own lawn, I would, but I'm not home enough to be able to even do that. I would still pay someone to clean the pool, though. I used to have to do that when I was a kid, and I hate it then, and I hate it now. But that is the quote. That is the quote you're looking for, right?
That was the quote I was looking for, because and he's 100% right, and unfortunately, Hogan is somebody who has been this character for so long, you know, does even he know where the line is between Terry and Hulk?
I'm playing a little bit of a devil's advocate as well, because Jericho and Hogan did get into the business in different eras, if you think about it. Because when Jericho got into the business, this was after Hogan made a name for himself and after McMahon said, "We're sports entertainment." When Hogan got into this business, kayfabe was a little bit more serious back then. So you have to play your character a little bit more. So he might just still be stuck in that mindset from that time. Now, some guys can get out of it over the years, but for Hogan, maybe he couldn't. That's just playing a devil's advocate there.
Oh, no. I agree with you, but at some point, you know, there's... When you get home from however many days you were on the road and you walk in your front door and close it, your wrestling persona needs to go take a break. Go do whatever it wants to do. You need to be you. And I don't think Terry Bollea exists anymore. Between kayfabe, the wrestling business in general, his reality shows, and just having his reality completely turned on his ear between Nick's driving, Brooke's horrible singing, and the divorce. You know, it's a wonder that, you know, he hasn't traded in his red and yellow or his black and whites for, you know, one coat with really, really long sleeves.
At this point, I think that Terry is indeed as much a person as that paper in Dixie Carter's briefcase was money. That, honestly, I do think indeed that he basically morphed into Hulk Hogan altogether.
So, it's just, you know, it's watching a train wreck in slow motion. I hope I'm hoping somebody would be willing to pay him something. But there's no way he is going to get the money he was making in the 80s and 90s. And he's just going to have to wake up to that reality. To make sure we go out on a happy note. Word is out that the independent promotion Extreme Rising Pro Wrestling is back in business. They've reorganized things behind the scenes. Their first show will be in Philadelphia. Their re-debut will be at the arena on December the 28th. www.extremerising.com. Take a look at it. The tickets are not on sale yet, but they will be starting on October 25th. They apparently have a TV deal, which will start on January 1st, 2014, into Philadelphia, Bucks County, South Jersey, and Northern Delaware. Like I said, there was some stuff done behind the scenes. Steve O'Neill is now in charge of all aspects of the production. And they've got all their stuff out there. Whether you go to directly their website, they have a Facebook account. They do have a Twitter, facebook.com/extreme rising and Twitter, @extreme rising. Check these guys out. You know, any competition is good competition. And with TNA in such a blind free fall, we're gonna need leagues to start really stepping up their games. And we need to get, you know, they need to start talking to TV studios. Hey, you know, we want to be an alternative. You know, NBC Universal has WWE all wrapped up in one neat little package. I just don't think, you know, it's hard to go up against a juggernaut like the WWE nowadays. I think I am just about done with the news. Ooh, shame on me. Last part of this show, sponsored in part by
WORK Work Radio.
It's a work.
I have to give enormous props to Maria Kanellis and Lisa Marie Varon, aka Maria and Tara Victoria, whichever you prefer. Recently, a video was put out for Maria going to a specific restaurant and not a Dairy Queen, Tyler. She went to a restaurant called the Squared Circle, which is owned by Ms. Varon. And they had a conversation that was conveniently picked up on video. this works on so many levels. Have you, I don't think, I'm guessing you probably haven't seen this video, Tyler.
Actually, yes, I have. I'm subscribed to Ring of Honor's YouTube channel, and it came up in my subscriptions on YouTube, so I watched it. To me, it didn't work. It seemed way too fake, which, I mean, I don't know if that was what they were going for, but it was way too obvious that everything was just, I don't know, it just, I just think it was poorly done, truthfully. I mean, I have somewhat of a video background, and it just seems like it was done sort of in a rush. Oh, Maria's going to be in the area, and oh, you have her signing autographs, and then all of a sudden she needs to speak to the manager because she gets in an altercation with one of the restaurant, you know, workers, and all of a sudden, oh, look, here comes, you know, Lisa, and it's just poorly done, truthfully.
I haven't seen the video myself, but one of the reasons that I've commented on this is just the fact that even if it was poorly shot, Forth, do you realize how many things got some free press because of this video?
I can think of at least a few things, but I can't think of a lot. So I may need a few more examples.
Okay. Maria, still being employed with Ring of Honor. She got to talk about her upcoming match. This was shot at a restaurant owned by a wrestler. So she got some free press for her business. And Jason, let me ask you this. Do you think Victoria Tara was actually looking at jumping on board briefly with Ring of Honor?
No, this is the way what's going to happen. And let me see if I can figure out how many things were promoted. Kevin Steen's match with Mike Bennett was promoted. One.
Okay.
Glory by Honor, the show in Chicago, was promoted. Two. Mm-hmm. The restaurant was promoted with the waitress T-shirt. Three. And the fact that Lisa Verona is making a special appearance there and will probably kick Maria Kanellis' ass there. Four. Still pretty awesome, even though it was, you know, not exactly the most realistic thing going. But it was awesome. It was great. One and a half minute video promoted four things. That's how you do it.
And in wrestling, any promotion is good promotion, Chris.
Exactly. And it's nice to see that they were able to do this really quickly and get just to the point of it. I haven't seen it myself yet, but I'm going to after we've done the show here. But from what it sounds like, they got what they needed to out of the way quick, but did it sort of well enough, depending on how you look at it.
So, you know, if it's like any other Diva segment, yeah, no offense, it is going to sound a little wooden. But, you know, more power to them. Getting that much work into that little time, it impresses me. And, you know, production values aside, Tyler, that's still a hell of a job. No comment. Okay. So, let's go ahead and wrap all of this crap up. Forth, do you have anything to promote or post?
First, I have VRM show Sports Digest. That's also part of CLW83. And while I would usually promote Typho Show, I get the feeling that it's probably on permanent hiatus. So I just want to congratulate Jesse Sorensen, whom a year removed from being unsure if he'd even walk again, he's taking part in, I believe it is, Glory by Honor. So
awesome. Tyler, do you have anything to promote at the moment?
Well, no, but just keep in mind that little belt on your side on your shoulder, wherever it may be. They don't call me the cult of personality. I'm gunning for that belt. Keep that in mind, Miss Heyman.
Ooh, a little trash talking. Ooh.
I will keep that in mind, Tyler. I'm just kind of happy that I got to peel it out of Gene fucking Aguilera's hands.
Just keep in mind, you barely squeaked by with it.
Oh,
is that butt hurt I hear? That you couldn't share the belt on a technicality?
Oh, don't worry. You seem to be the one scared, because if it weren't for the technicality rule, we would share it. And remember, Miss Heyman, sharing is caring.
Thank you, Dr. Shelby. Chris, I know you have something to promote.
Yes, I will have something updated for it this week. I don't know what. I will. My site, MrCMWaters.blogspot.com. That's MrCMWaters.blogspot.com. Where you see me reviewing things from Mr. Magoo becoming a kung fu expert to Captain Lou Albano training Ralph Cramden to become a wrestler and everything in between. And as a special side note, happy birthday to me Monday, the 21st.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Happy are you early birthday. Are you legal?
Oh, I've been legal for a long time. I'll be 31.
Oh, God. Okay. Oh, shit. All right.
And I'll get you what I get everybody for their birthday, a boot to the head.
Oh, you'll break the boot on my head.
And speaking of boots to the head, Jason, what do you've probably got a nice long list for me.
I always do. First of all, the website is back up. CLW83.com is up. We have, of course, hey, engineer, come here for a sec.
Oh, I'm sorry, wrong engineer. Hi.
Yeah, let's talk some baseball quickly.
Very quickly, the Boston Red Sox and the Detroit Tigers play Game 6 over the weekend. By the time you listen to this podcast and it's uploaded, which will be in about 8 years. No, I'm kidding. We'll determine who's in the World Series. We know St. Louis is there. Who are they going to face? Either Boston or Detroit. That will be decided. And sometime by midweek next week, the newest edition of Touch 'Em All, maybe with a little St. Louis-Boston rivalry if it gets there, because we have panelists from panelists who are fans of both teams. Could be interesting. So we'll talk about that. All sorts of baseball news as well. Away from the playoffs to recap. That all coming up on Touch 'Em All. We also have the BS Big Show that is going to be up very soon. Recapping the week that was in football, talking more about the PBS Frontline documentary we talked about on this program last week, and recapping all sorts of things National Football League oriented, including throwing a local sportscaster from my neck of the woods under the bus for using a football team's name in vain and profiting off of charities. Yeah.
Not cool. We'll also want to talk about Pixel Nation. Sometime in November, WLTI Live will be back. We're on an unfortunate real-life hiatus, unfortunately. And, of course, I believe Down the Tubes is going to come back, and you can get all these podcasts on Stitcher.com, Stitcher Radio, and Player.fm. Check your local stores for that, your iTunes store and your Android for Stitcher and Android for Player.fm. I'm done.
I think I'm kind of done, too. So for Jason Block, for Chris Waters, for Tyler Brown, for our fifth tonight, fourth. Yeah, I know that doesn't make any sense, but this is a wrestling show. We don't have to make sense. My name is Dickie Heyman. You've been listening to the North American Wrestling Connection, as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. I shall now piss off our engineer.
Stay pony, my friend.
Ninja Frazier! Until next Klopp, America.
You've been listening to a JWC Media produced program.